Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight at toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this evening. And a couple things to talk about here tonight. Rosh Hashanah, Jewish holiday. It's one of the seven Levitical feasts, and I was going to mention a little bit about that tonight. And that, of course, on the calendar is tomorrow, but if you were over in Israel, it's already started because it's already tomorrow. They're 7 hours ahead in Jerusalem from where we are here in Independence, Ohio, just south of Cleveland. So they're about 7 hours ahead of us. So it is the Jewish holy day of Rosh Hashanah. But technically, Rosh Hashanah starts with the certification of the sighting of the new moon. And you say, how do you see the new moon? New moon is when the moon is completely dark. And they have a way of certifying it. And then when that was certified, the trumpets would sound and the celebration would begin. And there's some prophetic overtones to the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, just like there are in each of the seven Levitical feasts. And we may touch on some of that here yet this evening. But of course, we've got some people already lined up to call in. And if you've got a question, like I said, a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll free 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. And help us through it all to lift up and glorify Christ. We thank you for the opportunity, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, lots happening in the news, certainly, to talk about. Pray for our president. And I heard Chris Long, the Ohio Christian Alliance, made a statement recently that I thought was good. And he was talking about President Trump, and people were worried about him and the slanderous lies that have been being told about him. I don't want to get into it too much of it right now, but if you watched any of those House Intelligence Committee hearings when Representative Schiff opened up with total fabrications, and when one of the Republican members of the committee called him on it and said that he made it all up, he even admitted in the hearing that, well, it was a parody. It was a parody. Yet he presented it as if it was word for word the conversation that President Trump had with the Ukrainian president. And of course, it was all made up. You can read the transcript online. Adam Schiff apparently didn't think it was good enough for the cameras, so he made his own up. And somebody was asking about and talking about, worried about the things that he's going through and different things, and I remember Chris Long saying that something to the effect of, this president is under protection of God, under divine protection. He said, think about it. He's standing up for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And I thought about that. I said, well, yeah, the Bible says that God would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. He said he's also standing up for the unborn. I thought about that. And I said, well, yeah, he's done more than any president to help defund Planned Parenthood, more to defend the rights of unborn children. And he's done all these things, standing up, doing exactly what Romans chapter 13 tells us that they're supposed to do as government officials. And then he said he also stand up for traditional marriage, and that's true too. So there's a number of things that he's been doing, standing up for Christian liberties and freedoms. I don't know if you saw or heard, it kind of got eclipsed by this nonsense of the Ukrainian call, but his speech to the UN, calling on the nations of the world to protect the religious rights of others, and in particular, he singled out the persecution around the world of Christians, and him and Vice President Pence also participated in a religious freedom seminar program there at the UN as well. And this is something that we've not seen done by previous presidents, at least not recent presidents, certainly not the most recent president prior to President Trump. But so pray for him. But I do believe he's under divine protection because he's been doing the Lord's work. And so we need to pray for him. And, you know, if we don't pray for him, if we don't pray for our country, we can't be surprised when we get presidents that want to advance the cause of the left, when we get presidents that want to push for the further killing of unborn children, when we get a president that wants to further blur the lines of distinction between male and female, when we get a president that wants to further persecute and alienate the nation of Israel and the Jewish people and support their enemies. And on we can go. So right now we're in a very blessed time, and I believe God is blessing our country with the amazing economic progress that we've made and the incredible, just absolutely incredibly historic low rates of unemployment. Black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, for instance, has never been lower since they've been keeping records of it, since it's been under the policies of President Donald Trump. So do pray for him. Pray that our church prays for him, and we pray, and I wish you would too, pray that he looks to God and to God's word for guidance and direction. He's not a perfect man by any means, but he sure was better than the alternative. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our telephone number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral, that's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, you can find us there as well. And also, in addition to that, you can check out our YouTube channel. We're on YouTube with our own channel, Live with Pastor Al. And this program right now is broadcasting on YouTube live broadcast, and it's being carried over on our Facebook page. But you can find all that there. And of course, we're sponsored by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and certainly encourage you to visit us if you're in the area. So with that, we're going to get to our first caller tonight. And, you know, it seems like each week we have a running contest between Terry and Nancy, which one calls in first. And I think each one of them calls in within seconds of each other. And so we always tend to go ladies first. And actually, I believe that Nancy had edged out Terry this week, and so we're actually going ladies first, and I think, a few seconds, first caller. So we've got Nancy calling in tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you. I know you're having a blessed evening. We had a really good sermon tonight at Bible Baptist Temple. You know, Pastor Andy's assistant, Brother Jeff.
Right.
He was preaching on how to pray, and he spent quite a bit of time concentrating on the sinner's prayer, how so mm-hmm. many churches will, you know, the salvation prayer, Romans 10, 9 to 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Mm-hmm.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And so many churches, as Brother Jeff said, they act like the prayer is going to save them. It's them, the Holy Spirit drawing them and truly wanting to repent of their sins and all that. But what would you say if somebody came to you and said, you know, I've been really thinking about this, I want to get saved, would you use the sinner's prayer, Romans 10, 9 to 10, or how would you respond? I'm just curious.
Well, yeah, and that's good. And let me back up to something that you said there about how some places, some churches, some Christians almost treat it as a magical formula. Well, just recite this,
yes,
and abracadabra, you're saved. Well, that's
not
the case. You know, remember it said right there, believing. And that's the key. You can recite the sinner's prayer all you want to, but if there's no belief, because remember John 3:16, and I want to turn there, and actually, I mean, a lot of us know it by heart, but I want to read what comes before it and after it, because we just single out John 3:16. Actually, let's read John 3:16, and then I'll read some verses before and after. And of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and here's that word, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So believeth is in there, and it's not just reciting the sinner's prayer. There has to be a belief in the heart, because if you go back up to verse 14, there's a sentence that encompasses verse 14 and 15. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's that qualification of believing again. And then when we get down to verse 17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then it immediately says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So when I read that, you know, whether you use the sinner's prayer or something else, the key is, does the person you're talking to genuinely believe that they've sinned and that Jesus paid for their sin, and that if they believe that Jesus paid for their sin, do they believe that they could be saved? Do they believe that God will forgive them? You know, there's this belief.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at that, the illustration of lifting up the Son of Man, this was when the nation of Israel was in the wilderness and they were rebelling against God, and he sent the fiery serpents among them, and people who were bit by them died. But God instructed Moses to take make a serpent out of brass, put it on a pole, and lift it up in the middle of the camp. If you ever wondered where the snakes on a stick, basically, you know, for a medical symbol comes from, well, there it is. But the serpent, the brass serpent on the pole, represented the serpents that were biting and killing them, and the serpents biting and killing them represented sin, which is lethal. You know, the wages of sin is death. You know, sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And so when the serpent was lifted up on the pole, that was a picture of Christ becoming sin for us and lifted up on the cross, you know, on a pole, on a cross. And so what did they have to do? They had to say, you know what, I've just been bit. Moses said, if we look at the serpent on the pole and believe, if we look at that, we believe, we'll be saved, we won't die. And so as many as believed that, they looked and they lived. And so that's the picture here. If people don't really believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins, or even don't believe that they have sins to be paid for, then they can say the sinner's prayer all they want to. But without believing, they're going to perish. And that's the key there, because there in verse 18, it says we're already condemned because we've not believed. So we have to actively go from a state of unbelief to a state of belief. So it's an action that has to be taken. And the sinner's prayer can be helpful in getting people to understand, you know, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, as it says there in Romans 10, but what? With the heart. Remember, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And there's mm-hmm. that belief again. See? Mm-hmm. So
I hear about the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked or something
right.
like that. But then they say you had to, some churches, they say, believe in your heart that Jesus. So, this is a little confusing to me, you know, about, I hear different definitions of the heart.
Yeah, and the word heart can be used differently sometimes. In fact, at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday night, and this Sunday night, this past evening, I was in Proverbs chapter 4. We just finished chapter 4, and in verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And then I went over to Matthew chapter 12, I think it's verse 31, where Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so when you look at heart in that sense, that's like the central core of your being. You know, it's kind of a term that we use to talk about the real you. Like when somebody says, "Let's get to the heart of the matter here. You know, what's the heart of this issue? What's the core? What's the main important takeaway point here?" And so when we look
heart
at
is used in different ways.
Right. Ways. It's not just meaning that organ in the center of your chest that pumps the blood around. It can mean like the core, the central part of your being. And when you get saved, remember the Bible says that He gives us a new heart. And that new heart, the Bible says, I think it's in Isaiah, where it talks about the heart taking away the stony heart and giving us a heart of flesh, meaning a softer heart. And, you know, when we look at that, that's, you know, pictures what happens when we put our faith in Christ. You know, we have our old sin nature, and the Bible says that we become a new creature in Christ. And now, the flesh is still there, and we still have the fleshly nature, and we still have, you know, that fleshly organ that pumps blood around our bodies. But hopefully, the core, the central part of our being is now going to be changed because we're now a new creature in Christ. And so if we're truly born again, well, out of the heart, the issues of life, you know, if we're truly born again, then we should begin expressing through our mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We should begin speaking about the Lord and speaking about the joy of our salvation, you know, things like that. When somebody is unsaved and the heart, you know, the heart is deceitful and wicked and, you know, it's not going to lead us in the right direction. That's why we need the miracle of God moving upon the human heart and granting us insight and understanding of the scriptures so that we can put our faith in Christ. And that's where the danger of rejecting Christ is when the Bible talks in 2 Thessalonians about when the rapture takes place and the Antichrist is revealed. People who refused Christ refused salvation because they loved rather the things of this world, the pleasures of this world. And so, yeah, the heart, very important. But when we're talking with individual people with the gospel, some of them, you know, we may be able to, use the Romans Road very effectively. Some we might just stick right here in the Gospel of John. But here's a good question for you, Nancy, and for all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. When mm-hmm. Paul preached his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And thousands of people came to Christ on that day, right?
Yeah, what? I always questioned that, because how can you know until you see their fruits?
Well, we know because the Bible said that, you know.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, Acts chapter 2, where, what was it, 5,000
yeah,
men, I think it was.
The Bible says it, we believe.
Yeah, but thousands of people came to Christ. The Bible says it. Now, here's my question for you and of course, for our listeners. What New Testament scriptures did Peter use to lead all those people to the saving knowledge of Christ?
Well, I mean, this was the beginning of the New Testament. I mean,
right. See, this is a thinking question, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this is like the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of...
You know what one of his main texts was?
I'm expressing it, right.
Yeah, you know what his main text was? Psalm 16. You know how many New Testament verses or references he made? Absolutely zero. Yeah. He preached a salvation message entirely from the Old Testament, and thousands of people came to Christ.
That is amazing.
How about when Paul went out on his first missionary journey, and he arrived there at the first stop that he arrived at, and some believed? How many New Testament scriptures did Paul use? Absolutely zero.
Yeah.
All he did is he quoted the Old Testament scriptures. Think about Philip when he met with the Ethiopian eunuch. How many New Testament scriptures did he use to lead him to the Lord? None. He used the scroll of Isaiah. See, the Bible contains the gospel all the way through the Old Testament. And, of course, the New Testament makes it oftentimes easier to understand. But... you know, we don't have to limit ourselves to the Romans Road. And sometimes the danger with the Romans Road, and I know Terry's waiting there patiently for us. We'll give him more time here as we get to him. But this is an important thing to realize. The danger of using the Romans Road sometimes is, and I've experienced this, I've seen people do this, where it becomes a sales pitch. Well, would you agree here that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Well, yeah, I can agree with that. I'm reading it right now. It doesn't mean I believe it. It just means I agree the Bible says that. Would you agree that the Bible says the wages of sin is death? Well, yeah, I don't necessarily believe it, but yeah, the Bible says that. Do you see my point?
Yes, exactly.
And so we lead somebody down a sales pitch. And we don't wait for confirmation that they actually believe the Bible is the Word of God, that they actually believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and that they actually believe that He died on the cross and shed His blood to pay for their sins, that they actually believe that He rose from the dead victorious over sin and death. We just get them to acknowledge what the Bible says and say, "Do you believe the Bible says that?" Well, yeah, I believe the Bible says that. I mean, there's a lot of things that I believe that people say, but it doesn't mean it's true, and it doesn't mean I believe that it's true. It just means I believe they said it. You know,
yeah, also, I just want to say real quick, so many churches will give, if somebody says a sinner's prayer, they'll give them assurance of salvation then and there. And that's not right because, you know, you have to see their fruits. You have to see if they're truly.
Right. Well,
showing.
Yeah. I feel strongly on this because when I was young and I put my faith in Christ as my Savior, it was during a revival meeting at the church I grew up in, and I went forward three nights in a row. First night I went forward, I was under conviction. They brought me and some other people into the room in the back. They went through the Romans Road, said, "Say this sinner's prayer. Congratulations, you're all saved." I knew that nothing changed. I wasn't saved. Second night I went forward, we did the same thing. And the third night, I went forward, and somebody said to me, "Oh, you don't have to do this again. You've already done this." But I wasn't saved. It was later on at home, as I was thinking about it, that I prayed and put my faith in Christ as my Savior. So I sometimes say, I went to a good independent fundamental Baptist church and got saved in spite of it, you know.
You go ahead and take care of it.
Yeah, we're running out of time here in this half hour. But, Nancy, I want to thank you for that. That's a really good point to bring up. And we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us and let the Holy Spirit convict us and bring people to a state of believing rather than just give a sales pitch. And then once we've hooked them, and I've actually heard this language, once you've hooked them, close the deal. That's not scriptural.
It's about the way they handle all the churches.
Yeah.
They just want numbers.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But we need to wait on the Lord sometimes. So
thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Nancy, for calling. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we've got a few callers lined up here yet. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. We're going to take a break here in just about a minute or so, I believe, and 2 minutes. Let's get Terry up here right now, and we'll hold him through the break. So, hey, Terry, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, that's a good question that Nancy.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to take a little bit of time with that, and we'll hold you through the break here too, there, Terry. But we'll at least get a jump on the next segment. So, welcome to the program.
Yeah, amen. I was just going to continue with that too. No man can come to the Father except by, no man can come to the Son. Sorry, except the Father.
Yeah, except by Christ.
Draws them, right?
Right, right. And with that in mind, I know we won't have time to get into this, but Hebrews has an excellent statement on this in Hebrews chapter 6, and it's misunderstood by a lot of people and applied to the idea of losing your salvation. But in Hebrews chapter 6, where it says, in verse 4, where it says, "For it's impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift were made partakers of the Holy Ghost," what he's talking about here is God making somebody aware of the truth of the gospel message so that they can choose to accept Christ or they can choose to reject him. And that's what this is talking about here in this passage. And it's good when we think about this. God has to enlighten us because we won't understand it on our own, will we?
Nope.
So, yeah. So,
unless he draws.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I was just saying, unless he draws us, we can't.
Right, right. And I really do believe one of the ways and reasons that God draws certain people is because people pray for them, which we're supposed to do. Hey, Terry, you got less than 10 seconds. Hold that thought. We'll pick this up on the second half of the program. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us if you're ever in the northeastern Ohio area, if you're from out of town, or if you're here in the area and you don't have a church, you don't have a church that preaches the Bible, that believes the Bible. Heard a horrible statistic just the other day, speaking of that. I went to a pastor's briefing in Columbus put on by the Ohio Christian Alliance, and they had David Barton, and many of you have probably heard of David Barton, familiar with some of his works, does a lot of great work with Christian history of the United States, and he was in Columbus this last Friday. Myself and another gentleman with our church drove down to hear him for a luncheon. He was there for an evening function as well, but we weren't able to be there for that. We were just there for the luncheon and the afternoon. And he said that they had done a statistic or a survey. He had done this survey along his organization, Wall Builders, along with Barna, the Barna Research Group. And they said that they called, it was like over 350,000 churches across the United States. They called 500 churches a day for, I forget how many weeks or months they did that, but they called over 350 some thousand churches, and they had a list of six basic things. Do you believe the Bible is divinely inspired by God? Do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Do you believe in the deity of Christ? Do you believe in the vicarious suffering of Christ, meaning that he died, he suffered to pay for our sins? Do you believe in the bodily resurrection? You know, just some basic things. I forget the exact list, but they were basic things that you would think that if it's a truly Christian church, they would believe it, have no problem accepting it. And they said that out of all of these 350-some thousand churches that they called and asked if they agree with these six statements, that 73% of these churches across America did not agree with their list of six basic Christian doctrines. Now, isn't that sad? 73% of the churches they surveyed, 350-some thousand churches, 73% could not agree to six basic statements that any evangelical, conservative, Bible-believing, whatever, however you want to phrase it, Christian, should be more than willing to accept and believe. And yet 73% of all these hundreds of thousands of churches could not accept that. That's sad when you think it's such a small percentage of churches in this country are willing to ascribe to some very basic, fundamental doctrines that are essential to Christianity. Well, that's part of the problem we have in our world. If you're not in a church that believes that Jesus is God, or that the Bible is his word, or that you must be born again, we certainly invite you to visit. We believe that, and we proclaim the word of God. You can find us more information at the end of the program, but just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find links there. You can find information there. Also, our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and you can find some more information there. There's also links to our home church at both of those sites, and then our YouTube channel. You go to YouTube, find us at Live with Pastor Al on YouTube, and we're live streaming there right now. It's sharing it over to our Facebook pages, so hopefully You can find us on there and follow us on Facebook, but follow us also, like us and follow us on YouTube. And that way we'll know that you're able to find our programs there. And we're trying to get more and more loaded up there, some past ones as well. And you can file some links to our home church. We put some of our services on there as well. But also want to remind you, we're brought to you tonight not only by our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, but East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. They're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you've never been there and you mentioned Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. We've got a couple of people waiting. Terry, we've held over from just before the break, and Terry's calling from London, Ontario. And Terry, welcome back to the program this evening.
Yep.
Well, thank you for waiting for us.
Yeah, one thing you were just mentioning, you know, one of the biggest problems is a lot of people go to different churches, you know, to listen to hear what they want to hear.
Mm, yeah, that's a very good point.
In Timothy 4, 3, I think it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
Right.
And they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned into fables.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we do live in that day, because I know just from things that I've overheard and from people that have been to our church in the past, you know, the fact that we actually open up the Bible and go through it, while it sounds like a nice novel concept, but when we actually do it, they don't like it.
No.
Yeah,
They won't like us.
Yeah, I remember one time, this was early after I had surrendered to call, you know, to go into the ministry and preach the Word of God. I was involved in a missions church outside of RAF Chicksands, which was an American Air Force base in London, or in England, about 60 miles north of London. And there was a missionary, a Baptist missionary out of Georgia, who had started a church outside of our base. And I was going there, and so we had some tracks and things, and we used to go up to the town of Bedford, because we were just outside of Bedford, England. And if people remember the book or are familiar with the book Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan wrote it. He lived in and around Bedford, and he was imprisoned in the jail in Bedford, and that's where he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Well, there's a street mall there at the time, right on the main street, just going off from the main street, that has a spot that marks the spot where the Lord High Sheriff stood when he arrested John Bunyan for preaching without a license. We used to stand on that exact spot and pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. Well, met a young lady who was going to college there in the Bedford area, and she invited me over for a Bible study that she had with some friends in the dormitory. So I showed up, and I had a Bible with me, and I had a little Bible in my pocket. And when I came in the room with that, and probably about 8 or 10 people, I had twice as many Bibles as was actually present in the room for a Bible study. The lady that invited me, she had the only other Bible there, and people actually started grumbling when they found out we were actually going to open the Bible and look at what the Bible had to say during a Bible study.
There's a lot of people don't even bring a Bible to church with them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I want people to bring a Bible to church, because I want people to follow along, because sometimes I misread, you know, I'll reverse the word, or I'll skip down to the next line down and miss a line, and I have a couple of people in church who will correct me right there. And somebody say, well, that's disrespectful. You're the pastor. They shouldn't do that. No, I want them to just call checks and balances. You know,
we're all human. We make
exactly, exactly.
You said something earlier, actually. You said something. You mentioned Paul was the one that was preaching the in Acts 2.
Oh yeah, it was Peter was in Acts 2, and then Paul. I said later on when he went on his missionary journey, and I might have switched Peter and Paul there. Yeah, because you have the three P's there in the beginning of Acts. You have Peter and Paul, and also Philip. Remember with the Ethiopian eunuch, and then of course then the action shifts over to Paul and his ministry. But yeah, and again, like we were saying in the first half, you know, they preached great sermons, people were saved, and they didn't have one single New Testament verse at their disposal, did they?
No.
They just used the scriptures. The scriptures they had was our Old Testament.
Because that's all they had at the time.
Yeah, exactly. The New Testament hadn't begun being written yet.
Right.
So it wasn't until...
As you know, I've been studying hermeneutics, and you know that's one of the biggest problems, you know, in the churches today is deception.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
A lot of these preachers that are on TV, you know, that preach, you know, prosperity gospel and
the name it and claim it,
religion. That's false.
Yeah, and if people have a Bible open in front of them when they're sitting in front of these people. You know, in the Old Testament again, Isaiah chapter 8, I think this is a tremendous passage that ought to be applied. It says to the law in verse 20, it says to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
That's right.
We take everything back to the scriptures. And you had mentioned Peter there. You mentioned You mentioned Paul when he was writing to Timothy, you know, about the time when they would reject the preaching of the scriptures and doctrine, heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. And, yeah, it was the same in Isaiah's day, and that's why he said to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Doesn't matter how nice they are, doesn't matter how nice a car they drive, doesn't matter how expensive their suit is, doesn't matter how many degrees they have, none of that matters. If it's not according to this, to the law and the testimony, if it's not according to that word, there's no light in them, is there? So
that's what I've been studying a lot on lately. There's a deception out there. We need to get back to the simplicity of the word.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we have the Bible. It is to keep us on the right path, to keep us doctrinally pure. I was just going to flip back to that passage that you had brought up about Paul writing to Timothy, and in the chapter before that. He's warning, chapter 3, verse 1, this know also then the last days perilous times shall come. And then he talks about people, wicked people and deceivers and all these things. And he says, he comes down to verse 13 where he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he gives Timothy a reminder of what we have to resist and to counter evil men and seducers that are waxing worse and worse. He says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And those scriptures he's talking about, that's the Old Testament scriptures, isn't it?
Yep.
And that's what Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony. We're supposed to challenge what people say and teach with the scripture. And the reason why, here it comes, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then we turn around and teach it and preach it.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
And warn people. We got to warn people.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what Paul's doing right here. He's warning Timothy what's going to happen. And God saw to it that it's preserved for us in the Bible today to warn us. And if you preach the Word of God, you're going to warn people because it's there.
And warn people against false doctrine.
Yeah, absolutely right. And
there's many of them out there that are doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Paul named them by names.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he gives names of several people that well, look here, just looking down in chapter 4, since I'm on that page, he says in chapter 4, verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." You know, there's another guy in verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord record him according to his works." Well, I thought we're not supposed to name people. Well, people knew who Demas was. People knew who Alexander the coppersmith was. And this isn't the only time that he named people. There's other times. And, we don't necessarily have to go out of our way naming people, but sometimes it has to be, you know, names have to be put out there. I mean, I've had people complain that I mentioned something about Joel Osteen. And, of course, Joel Osteen, you know, he's out there, you know, "This is the best day of your life." You know, we have a joke about, you know, he says, you know, "Give and it shall be given unto you." You know, give, you know, it's better to give than to receive. So I'll take the lesser blessing. You give and I'll receive, you know, so.
But give those guys a nickel, any of them.
Yeah, but, you know, people will send hundreds of dollars. They'll write checks, hundreds, even thousands of dollars. They'll get up there, these guys will get up there, and they'll say, "Somebody out there right now, God's telling you to write me a check for $5,000. You need to write that check right now. There's somebody out there. God's telling you to write me a check for $2,000. You need to write that check right now and send it to me." If I did that, you know what I would get? I might get a nickel. Probably wouldn't get that.
I called them up not too long ago and asked them to give me $1,000 so they could be blessed.
Yeah, hey, there's a good idea. You know, why don't you take the lesser blessing, right? I'll take the lesser blessing.
Exactly. I tried doing that to see what they do. Eh? And they put me. They said, "Well, we'll put you over to somebody else." And I went over. And I went to an answer machine, and I left a message on the answer machine. I didn't tell them what I wanted, but I just left a message for them to call me. They never called me back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he flagged your number, I guess.
And this guy was asking he's asking for people for $56 or something and 11 cents or something like that.
Oh, yeah, they usually have some significant number, you know, that it makes it seem more real than if you just say $5,000, you know, say, to give some number in so many odd cents or something like that. Actually, I'm watching the clock here. I got a third caller I got to get to yet before we run out of time here. But, you know, we think about that. You're absolutely right. We need to get into the scriptures, don't we? And we need to hold some of these people accountable. I need to be held accountable. I appreciate it when people in my church say, "You missed a word there," or "You misspoke. You said the wrong word." You know, and it's helpful. It keeps me, you know, lined up with the Word of God, which is what I'm supposed to be. Yeah. So, well, Terry, thanks for calling tonight. No, we'll be talking again in the future. So I'll let you go here, and thank you for calling. We're going to get to our next caller here. We've got Tom calling in, and Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor.
Hey, great to hear from you.
Oh, yeah, I had a great day of joyful worship and fellowship with you. So
yeah, we enjoyed having you at church this morning. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, you really do feel the joy of the Lord when you're in together with other people worshiping God.
And it's not the numbers. It's whether or not the Lord is present in your group, isn't it?
There you go.
Because the Bible says, you know, Jesus said where two or three are gathered together, that he'd be there in our midst, wouldn't he?
That's right. And, you know, he didn't talk about happiness so much. We, you know, we like happiness in our life, but the Lord talks about joy, doesn't he?
Yes, joy, the joy of the Lord.
Yeah, a little bit different than happiness.
Yeah, and not only joy, but peace. He talks a lot about having peace.
Amen, amen.
And when you have joy and peace, you know, in a sense, how can you not be happy?
There you go, there you go. Well, and we know, too, that, you know, we know we pass from life to death because we love the brethren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and God will put a love in your heart for fellow believers.
Yeah, and that's a confirmation I don't think we tell people enough.
No, and you know, let me give you an interesting story. This is another thing I learned at that luncheon that I went to last Friday. There was a very popular pastor at the time of the Revolutionary War, and this man's name was Harry Hoosier. And Harry Hoosier was really sought after for speaking, and people wanted to hear him speak. And he loved reaching the pioneers, the fur trappers, the hunters, the woodsmen. He loved the rough and ready sort of guys. And he reached a lot of them with the gospel, and they pushed the western limits of the United States back into the Northwest Territories. And a lot of them settled in the territory, the Indiana Territory, which of course later became the state of
five. I think that was five states.
But the Indiana portion later became the Indiana Territory and then the state of Indiana. And a lot of his followers that he, you know, influenced to come to Christ settled in that area, and they lived Christian lives. And people said, you know what, you live like that guy Hoosier. And you know what they called him? They called him Hoosiers.
The Hoosiers.
That's where the name came from. Let me give you the rest of the story. Harry Hoosier, this great man of God that caused the state of Indiana to be called the Hoosier State, was a black former slave.
There you, wow.
And actually, he started preaching as a slave.
That's great.
White preachers went to him because they said he's one of the greatest preachers of our day.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I've listened to some black ministers over the years, and some of them really got a heart for God.
Yeah, and you know, you're looking at this guy. You know, slave versus free didn't mean anything. Free white men went to this guy because they said this is a man of God, and they wanted to hear him preach. And he influenced these white free men that pushed the boundaries of the United States back into the Northwest Territories and gave their name to the Hoosiers.
Well, I always heard
of Indiana.
Now I know the story, like Paul Harvey used to say.
The rest of the story. That's what it is. I mean, it's just amazing when you think that, because, you know, you hear revisionist history today, you wouldn't think they'd have paid 2 cents to this guy.
No, that's a great story.
But he was one of the most popular preachers of his day. The others looked up to him.
Anyway, I want to make a quick comment here. Take me 1 minute before you run out of time. And I want to jump in the mainstream with your conversation tonight, started with Nancy. And
yes.
Like, I was thinking about what you said, and I said, well, you know, how many times have you looked at gospel tracts or you've heard ministers leading? And it's like, I don't think they're saying this is the exact prayer. I think, you know, we got to remember, when people come to the Lord, they have very little knowledge of what they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't have, the most people that come to the Lord, they don't have a knowledge of the scripture we have. They don't have the understanding yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it's just those are structured that way to as a guideline. But
right.
I look at one of the most interesting conversions was the thief on the cross. And if you look at the thief on the cross, first he acknowledges that this man has done no wrong. So we don't know what he knew about Jesus, but we see that he's enlightened, that he sees Jesus as totally innocent, and he sees him as Lord, because he said, he says, and he admits his sin. He says, I deserve what's happening to me, but this man doesn't. And then he merely looks to the Lord, and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he was saved at that very moment.
Yes.
Yes. So God was looking upon his heart, but the Holy Spirit drew him at the time of the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is such an amazing thing.
Oh, yeah. And again, not one shred of New Testament scriptures there, huh?
No.
Exactly. And, well, you know, we've got a lot more now to help us to reach people with the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got no excuse, do we?
Amen.
Hey, Tom, we're out of time. I want to thank you for calling. Thanks for visiting us this morning. And, again, thanks you to all of our listeners. And, didn't get a chance to talk about Rosh Hashanah much, but we'll talk about it again sometime and do a study of that and the prophetic significance of the seven Levitical feasts. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.